Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Village Board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice to see some of our regulars back. Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. We will call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Thank you. Do I have a motion to modify? Actually, we will. Would you like us to move one of those items up?
Yes. Move. Why don't we do, if you would do Old Business 11 and 12.
Okay. And move it up to right before 4.
Sure.
Okay. So we'll call that. We'll call that 3E. Any other modifications to tonight's agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to accept the modified agenda. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. The week of January 22nd through 26th is being recognized as Wisconsin Adult School Crossing Guard. And never have I appreciated crossing guards like I have this winter while driving down Libel and seeing them freezing in the morning. But here's the proclamation from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Whereas Wisconsin's adult school crossing guards provide an invaluable service in helping to ensure the safe passage of our youngest, most vulnerable pedestrians, children walking between home and school, and whereas adult school crossing guards typically serve with a dedication that discounts the rigors of harsh weather, split shifts, and heavy traffic, and whereas for more than 5 decades, adult school crossing guards have served communities across Wisconsin, and that service has helped to drive down the rates of young pedestrian deaths and injuries, despite increases in traffic volume, and whereas adult school crossing guards add to the effectiveness of the student safety patrol members with whom they often serve and whose activity they help direct, and whereas adult school crossing guards help reinforce in the minds of the young people they assist the importance of traffic hazard identification and the safe street crossing behavior. Therefore, be it resolved that January 22nd through 26, 2018, be declared Adult School Crossing Guard Recognition Week in the state of Wisconsin. We would like to thank our crossing guards for the great work that they do. Next announcement, on February 10th, the Do Try Run is taking place in De Pere and Alloway. The Do Try Run is also known as Cerugi's Valentine Run. You can run either a 5K or a 15K. And for more information, you can go to dotryrun.com. Next announcement. On May 5th, 2018, there will be the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation Great Strides Walk, which takes place in our village. And it's not on our website right now, I don't believe, but I'm sure it will be as we get closer. Announcement, we have some elections coming up. This year we have 4 elections. The spring primary for the Supreme Court Justice is going to be Tuesday, February 20th. We have our spring general election, Tuesday, April 3rd, during which At least in Alloway, we will be electing our trustees. Tuesday, August 14th is the primary for the Tuesday, November 6th general election. And for this upcoming election, the deadline for making application to vote absentee by mail is 5 p.m. on the fifth day before the election, which is February 15th. And then the first date you can vote absentee in the clerk's office between February 5th and February 16th. The first day to vote is, the first day to vote absentee is February 5th. Do I have any other announcements from the board? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item, the new agenda item 3E. And that is action regarding approval of bid to raise building on Webster Avenue. Who wants to share some information with the board?
So we recently put out for bid the raising of the building. When we met on site, I talked with the contractors, and they showed concern over the abatement aspect of it. So when I first sent out the contract for them to look at, it had the abatement included in it. But with meeting with them, they said that each contractor would have to bring in their own testers, and it would all add cost to each contractor that would be bidding on the project. So they thought that it would be better that we took care of the abatement. So we are in the process of working with a couple testers to see if we could get a price on getting a survey done. I have one guy coming in. He's hoping to come in on Friday at 9 o'clock. If not Friday, on Monday, to do an abatement survey. After the survey is completed, the report will take about a week, week and a half. And after the report is done, he will determine how much it's going to cost to do the abatement. So that's for asbestos, lead, any hazardous materials they will take care of. As far as the building itself, the contractors bid on just tearing the building down, bringing it back up to grade, natural flow. So the sheets that you guys have in front of you are the bids that we had gotten. My preference would be to go with Ostringa. I've been looking up Legacy. I know they're the lowest contractor on the sheet. Although they've only been around for 5 years, the only projects that I've seen them do that were posted were residential down in Oshkosh. So there wasn't much history that I could go back on Legacy. Ostringa, on the other hand, has done a lot of projects in the area with Lambeau Field, with Alloway, with other areas. So that would be my recommendation, to go with Ostringa.
And that does not include the abatement?
No.
So there would be an extra cost associated with the abatement?
Right.
It should probably be more than what we see in front of us.
Right. As soon as I find out what the cost of the abatement is going to be, they figured that it's going to cost about $3,000 to do the testing itself, and then the abatement, you know, won't be figured out for another 2 weeks or so. We also took care of the disconnection of the water service, considering that it was in the middle of the driveway. We had to do it over this past weekend just because of the fact we didn't want to hinder Prevea, the child care, and the architect building. So they took care of it on this weekend. The water department did that. So I haven't received the bill for that. They were kind of leaning towards about $5,000-$6,000, but I don't have a set number on what it costs them actually to cap that or disconnect that water service.
Okay. Any questions for Kevin? Trustee Harris.
Oops, sorry. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why there would be the idea why make not why there's such a big swing in amounts.
I don't know.
It's just
yeah, it was unbelievable. We actually had another contractor that sent in a bid, but it got hung up in because of weather. Apparently, they were from out of state, and when they were sending it, it got stuck in Tennessee with those snowstorms. And they had emailed us and asked us how they were competing in the bidding process. And when I kind of gave them the information that we had on the sheet, she's like, you can might as well just count us out because we're higher than the highest. So.
Oh, my.
So you're asking for us to approve the contract for a string gun?
Yes.
Should we approve it contingent upon what we find out with the abatement, or does that not matter?
That won't hinder anything with these contractors as far as the building itself.
Will we have to do a separate bid for the abatement to determine a contractor who would take care of that as well as it being the lowest cost?
The surveyors that I'm working with basically deal with just the abatement aspect of it. So when they come up with a set number, I could have a couple surveys done, but remember that's going to cost $3,000 every time I have it tested or so. So
oh, okay.
Every time I have a report done, it's going to cost.
Okay, I was under the impression from the way you talked, it was that the bidding companies had agreed to use the same survey company to find out what had to be done.
No,
so they would have the specifications, and then it would go from there.
Right. No, what we agreed on site was to work with the contractors on just tearing the building down, and we were going to hire our own abatement company to take care of all the hazardous waste, and they didn't have to deal with any of that.
Okay.
And is the company who is doing the survey, will they also do the abatement, or will... Does that have to go out to bid for someone else?
They said that with the severity of the building, that they were bringing in a couple other testers, not from their own company, but throughout, to do the testing themselves so that it split the liability throughout a couple different companies rather than one company just taking on the full responsibility. So...
That sounds
the company that I've been working with
sounds scary too. Yeah.
The company that I'm working with is taking, you know, more severe steps to cover themselves, you know, and try to disperse, you know, issues if anything arises. But I've also
can you say who that company is?
Asbestos Removal.
Okay, well that makes sense.
And I also informed with them that whatever they decide, I was going to give them the reins to do whatever it took to clean the building out. So,
no, it also speaks to the condition of the building, their concerns. Okay, any other questions for Kevin? Trustee Harris.
Two more. Is a disconnection being completed with WPS? I know you said the water, but is there still power to that building?
Yeah.
And is that needed as part of the...
By the contractor? I could order WPS disconnected anytime, or we could do it to the contractor. It really doesn't matter.
Okay, I just wondered. And then of the 8 that bid on it, how many did an on-site inspection? Did all 8 come out?
Actually, I believe every single one of these guys were at the on-site.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Because I know we weren't requiring it per se, but I wanted to make sure everybody saw what they would have to do.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'll accept the motion on this issue. Trustee Genry.
I would recommend, or move to recommend that Ostrenga be given the bid to raise the building on Webster.
Okay, for $29,644.
Correct.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? We have a motion to accept the bid from Stringa. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Bolt number 12, new 3F. Discussion action regarding Alloway Waterworks building located at 535 Green Avenue. As a lot of people know, back in September, we signed an agreement to sell the property, the old pump house property on Green Avenue. And the buyer had 15 days contingency to gain financing in 15 days. And based on an inspection, I don't think the inspection ever took place. We never heard anything after the 15 days. Our attorney reached out multiple times to the buyer's attorney and did not get any response, several throughout October, November, and December. And once it became public that we were going to be talking on the agenda is when we heard from the attorney. And the attorney tells us that the buyer needs another 30 days to gain financing. So we asked to have this put on the agenda for us to talk about and decide what we want to do. Attorney Guest, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yes, thank you, President Rafferty. As you indicated, the original offer, Mr. Bertog, came in September of 2017. The purchase price offered was $38,500. And what's key, as part of that offer, there was a closing date established that the transaction had to be closed on or before December 31st of 2017. So that was the original offer. We counter offered in October, basically shortening the time frame for the financing contingency from 45 days to 15 days. The counter offer also contained some language essentially deleting some provisions where the village had to reconnect certain utility services. So as of October 17th, we had a binding deal on the offer and the counter offer. All of the contingency periods have expired. That would be the financing contingency, there was an inspection contingency, all of them have expired. So there's no out for the buyer on any contingency, which is fine. You can waive the contingencies, but the key element that remained was closing on or before December 31st. That didn't happen. The village reached out and indicated that we were ready, willing, and able to close. You know, one other slight detail that had to be resolved was what did the buyer want in zone? You know, because it's presently zoned municipal owned, so we need to have a reason on something. So there were some discussions about that, but the long and short of it is the deal did not close by December 31st. So therefore, as it sits right now, there is no deal to be had. I mean, the old deal is gone. The board has the discretion if they want to extend the prior offer or the prior contract to further extend the closing date of the financing contingency. In my discussions with Tim Feldhausen, Mr. Bertog's attorney, indicated that they were actively pursuing financing for the purchase price of $38,500, and they were hoping that they could have that in place within 30 days. They don't have any letters of intent or guarantees on the financing as we sit here, but they have been actively pursuing alternative sources to finance the purchase. Attorney Feldhausen and I also talked about, as the board's well aware, you know, buying the property for the purchase price is one component in the overall picture. As the board's well aware, there's some problems with that property that need to be addressed in terms of renovation. So Attorney Feldhausen and I did talk about what's the plan for renovating the property. You know, is the renovation cost part of the financing that you're trying to secure? And the answer was no. They're trying to secure the purchase price of $38,500 by way of financing. The contemplation is that Mr. Bertog would use some proceeds from a legal claim that he has for disability benefits. some back payments on that to fund or partially fund the renovation cost. So as we sit here today, no contract. The board wants to amend the contract to give him an additional 30 days to come up with the financing. That's the prerogative of the board. I'm sure Mr. Bertaud would be amenable and agreeable to an extension. If the board says, no, it's time to move on, then that's the board can move on. Because there was no closing by the end of the year, so the deal is dead. So it's up to the discretion of the board. I understand the board can probably fill in some holes, but there's been some other interest in the property, too. At least we're not sitting here with one potential buyer on the horizon. There are some other people that have been interested in that property. We haven't pursued any of those actively because we were under contract to Mr. Bertaud until the end of December. So, pleasure of the board, whether we want to give him some additional time to finance the purchase of the property. The board may have some, and if we amend the contract, the board can require other things because the old deal is dead. So if we amend it, we can amend it to extend the closing date for 30 days, extend the financing contingency for him for another 30 days. The board can also build in other contingencies or conditions into the amendment if we want. For example, some assurance or some plan on what the renovation is going to look like and when the renovation can be expected. Because it's basically a new deal now. So if we can add other contingencies in there that the board might be interested in, what is the plan to remodel and renovate the facility after you buy it? And where's that financing going to come from? So the board can have that as a contingency as well. So basically, we're at square one again. And we can negotiate a new deal with Mr. Bertaud or move on. So that's essentially where we're at.
I just want to ask one question. I'm a little bit confused why this isn't in closed session when other discussions on other properties go to closed session. What's different now if we're starting a new deal because the other one's dead? Wouldn't that be done in closed session?
It can be done in closed session. I mean, if we're going to negotiate a new deal and insert additional contingencies for negotiation purposes, yes, that could be in closed session. I think, in terms of just the status about where we are, there's nothing secret about it. I mean, once we signed the deal with Mr. Bertaud, that became a public record. Public record said closing by December 31st. It's public record or common knowledge that it didn't close by December 31st. So I think in terms of just a status update, there's nothing confidential necessarily that's been discussed or disclosed here. But yes, if we get into certain substantive discussions in terms of presentations to Mr. Bertaud or any other potential buyer, and we're getting into the nuts and bolts of that in terms of what the board would like to see from a negotiation standpoint, yes, that would be the proper subject of the closed session meeting. And the board doesn't have to make the decision tonight. We could defer the matter to a closed session meeting to further discuss if the board wants to pursue the transaction with Mr. Bertaud, and if the board does, what would the new arrangement look like in terms of conditions and contingency? So the board doesn't have to decide anything tonight. I suspect that Mr. Bertaud would continue his efforts to secure the financing, because the sooner the better, and if he could represent to the board in the relatively near future that he has cash proceeds for the sale in hand, that would probably be a factor that might sway the board one way versus the other way. So, if we're going to contemplate the new negotiation, that should be in a closed session meeting. The board's preference is to just move on. That doesn't necessarily have to take place in a closed session. We have a confidential process. That's our ability right now. I mean, the old deal wasn't closed and it should have been closed.
Yeah, I would think the question before the board is, do we want to consider extending this agreement or do we want to move on? And if we want to move on, then we set up a closed session to identify what we want in the agreement. Right?
That would seem to make sense to me.
Okay. Is there anyone who... I'm guessing that Mr. Bertrand would like to speak.
This would be an appropriate time.
Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Eric.
Thank you very much. I'm Eric Berteau, Green Bay, Lime Kiln Road, 810 Apartment 6. I am willing to answer any questions that anybody has. I have been making plans, and I have any question anybody would have regarding the renovation, I can answer, as well as the terms of the financing. This is language that's not really familiar to me, but the issues that we're running across are more in lines of people saying, well, we don't know what we're going to do with the property if we get stuck with it. Like, no. So that's what we're running into. And as far as the Social Security disability back pay is 5 years' worth, which would be enough to actually pay for the building, for the roof repair, as well as the solar power plant installation. So this is something that I plan on moving on fast as soon as the money arrives. But I don't want to take too much of your time with this right now. I am willing to answer any questions that you may have. I have documents that I can email, quotes, estimates from contractors. Ads Construction is the contractor that's waiting to do the roof. It's the same person that put the brand new TPO roof on the building right across the street. So it would also be consistent with the workmanship. And I am willing to answer any questions. I just wanted to be here for tonight.
Well, thanks for being here. One question I have, Eric, is why have all of the attempts by our attorney to communicate with your team, your attorney, gone unanswered until just recently?
I do not know. I will speak with Mr. Feldhausen about that. Maybe I would have to take partial responsibility because I haven't been getting the emails. I may be assuming something that I shouldn't be assuming, you know, but I will talk to Mr. Feldhausen this evening.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee
discussion real quick first.
We can have a discussion.
Just because I want to clarify something. Sounds to me like you're still interested.
Oh, very much.
Okay. Is there a reason why we couldn't streamline the process to just grant the additional 30 days for the financing with the current conditions that are in place based on the old agreement? But should somebody step forward with a cash offer between now and that 30 days that we're allowed to accept that offer?
Yes, you could. I mean, basically, we would extend the financing contingency and the closing date by way of amendment to the prior contract. And we could build in a contingency, and it's fairly common. You know, that, hey, if we get a bona fide, you know, offer that comes in, you know, that meets certain parameters, we'll give you, you know, 24 hours. You either take that deal and get it done, or we're free to pursue the other offer. So, yeah, there could be language to that.
Thank you.
And what's the difference between that and putting the place back on the market and allowing anyone, including Mr. Berteau, to make an offer on the property?
That would be an option the board could pursue. Okay. I mean, I think what, you know, Trustee Atwood was talking about was amending to give him additional time, but then mm-hmm. giving the village a benefit to saying, look, if somebody comes in with cash on the barrelhead, we go back to Eric and say, hey, you gotta get it done in 48 hours. If you can't, we're free to take the other opportunity and pursue that and close on that. Or conversely, and it's a matter of policy for the board, conversely, we could just rebid it all and have everybody come in with their best offers and the board can consider the multiple offers that it would receive or likely receive and then pick the best one of those. You know, one thing that Eric said that, you know, rings maybe a little bit true, and as I've given it some thought, is this probably is a property that there might be some difficulty in financing. It's not your run-of-the-mill commercial building or your run-of-the-mill home. So I guess I could understand, you know, banks having some, you know, hesitancy and wanting to really, you know, do their due diligence, because it is a little bit of an oddball on the property. The banks, of course, look at it and say, hey, whatever I have to foreclose, we own it, and can we ever get rid of it? So there might be some truth in that. And in consideration of a large payment that may be coming in on a legal claim, that would be the self-financing portion of the foundation work, or at least a significant part of that. So, once again, so we could just start all over from scratch and rebid it to everybody, or ask for proposals from everybody, or we could do what, you know, Trustee Atwood said, and amend it and extend his finance contingency and closing date, and have a provision there that says if we get a better offer in the interim, we can take it if you don't jump on it right away.
Trustee Dart.
Well, I think it's sat there and sat there and sat there. Another 30 days isn't going to hurt us.
Is there a need for us to then go into close?
No, if the motion on the board's perspective is to extend, what I would recommend is to extend the financing contingency for 30 days, extend the closing date for 45 to allow financing to percolate through, and then build that extra provision in that says if we get a bona fide third party offer and you can't meet it, we can pursue the third party opportunity. I mean, that's the preference of the board, we don't need a close session. If the board wants to discuss, you know, in confidence with counsel, some other alternatives that might be subject to negotiation with Eric or his attorney, then yeah, we can do a full session on that too.
Okay, so if we were to do, just as you said, with the provision that we can entertain another offer, and then you said that meets certain criteria, we have to decide what that extra criteria is, correct?
Yes.
Should that be done and closed?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason I suggested we could do what Attorney Atwood suggested in open session is because it was already suggested in open session.
I got promoted. Attorney Atwood.
Attorney.
Just want to make sure we're doing things right.
That's yeah. You know, the board never has to go into closed session. You know, I mean, oftentimes there's a competitive advantage in negotiations to doing it closed session because you don't want to discuss the pros and cons of negotiating leverage or tools amongst yourselves because you'll get differences of opinion and those kinds of things can be of advantage to the person at the other side of the bargaining table. And that's why you go into closed session. So that can definitely happen and the board can iron out in closed session all of the conditions and contingencies it wants to see in an amendment with Eric. And then we can present it to them, and then once they sign off, then it's a public record, and it will be approved formally.
Is there a way that, based on the discussion tonight, that we could enter into a closed session and come back into open?
Tonight? No. It wasn't on the agenda as a closed session topic.
Okay.
We don't necessarily have to wait until the next board meeting. We have a special closed session meeting to discuss it in short order, but yeah, it has to be properly noticed as a closed session.
Okay. Is someone going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it seems to me that Trustee Atwood's suggestion to keep the current potential buyer actively involved, but to open the door a little bit so we don't keep losing time. And to put the contingencies in about the 30 days finance and 45 day closing, and if somebody else stepped forward, then we'll deal with that. I think that'd be fair enough to all the parties involved, and we can keep the process moving.
Okay.
I mean, if the sense of the board is that, you know, kind of three-prong, you know, amendment is acceptable, we don't need a closed session. If any of the board members are contemplating, well, I would also like to see the fourth contingency. And the fifth contingency and the sixth contingency, and that we should discuss those, then we should do a closed session. So you could probably put it up for a vote on the three-pronged proposal, and if that fails, then set up a closed session, because then, in my mind, certain trustees would like to see some additional language or additional contingencies and eventually amend.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll take a stab at this.
Go for it.
Based on what he said, I would make a motion to amend the offer to a 30-day financing, 45-day closing, but also allowing the village to entertain any bona fide offers that come in between now and that 30-day period. The 30-day period being, I'd have to look at a
30
calendar.
Days from now?
Yeah, 30 okay. days from now.
February 15th.
I'm just looking for the business day. Would it be the
15th? I think it's February 15th.
Okay.
And if we do get a bona fide offer, we have the right to accept it?
Typically, the way it works is you get a bona fide third-party offer, you turn around and present it to Aaron and say, look, I understand you've got time left, but either you jump on this within 24 hours or within some short notice period, or we're free to pursue the other opportunity.
Okay. Do you want to suggest a time period for Eric to...
I think 48 hours would be, sufficient.
Okay.
Okay. It's the motion.
Is that clear, Mr. Guest?
Yes, and for the record, I did not mean to insult Mr. Atwood.
Oh, you didn't insult. You complimented.
Okay.
So I didn't have to go through all the schooling.
One point of clarification. The 48-hour clock would start when the offer is presented to Mr. Bartala's attorney or to Mr. Bartala personally?
It would be to his attorney.
Okay.
And then he just have a 48-hour window to say, you know, I'll waive all my contingencies and we'll close immediately, or I'll say I can't do it and then we can proceed with the third party.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion to amend the offer to extend it by 30 days and to for all the contingencies to be met within 30 days, 45 days for closing. If we receive a third-party bona fide offer, we have the right to accept it based on giving Mr. Bertov 48 hours to drop his contingencies and close. We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? Does anyone, Trustee Dart wants a second? Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I'll prepare that and circulate it to the President and Brad to look at it, and I'll get it over to Eric's attorney.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Okay, we are back to the original agenda. We are on number 4. Public hearing to consider amendment to Article 3, District Regulations, and Article 7, Conditional Uses of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances. We will open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak on this matter? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloy Bike Bed Committee. The village is going to be doing an emergency change on its zoning ordinance when it has already approved funding to rewrite the entire zoning ordinance. And I'm concerned that over the past 5 years, that the village has been using the planned district development process as a method of engaging in de facto zoning and rezoning in closed session commercial properties to allow what you're now going to be converting to conditional uses. So I'm glad that the village has recognized the error of its ways and that it's been making a mistake on all the using the planned development district to circumvent the zoning code, and that we really do need apartments and mixed-use facilities in our commercial district. But I think that we have to recognize that The village is taking an extraordinary measure to allow apartments in a commercial district, which it used the PDD to put the old Chapel Hill apartments in to get around the zoning code, and it used the PDD to put the brewery in the old Village Hall site to get around the zoning code, and it used the PDD to screw up the Mayflower purchase of the Town and Country property to get around the zoning code. So I think that the zoning code needs to be changed, but it needs to be recognized that this is being done tonight because it's an emergency situation, that the village needs to allow the apartments to keep moving forward and the brewery to keep moving forward, and that the village really should not be allowed to use the planned development district as a method to engage in de facto zoning and circumvent the zoning code. I've requested to see the last nine PDD applications, and I've received a few of them, but the village has told me that they really don't want to waste time looking for them. But I saw a presentation here by the zoning administrator that all the research had been done, and that I really would like to see the last nine PDD applications that were paid for by developers trying to get around the zoning code in one form or another. What brought this all to a head was the apartment complex that was going to go on to two single-family lots on Martha Street. That was the most egregious. That was done by a private developer, but it made its way through here. So that really brought it to a head. The PDD cannot be used to engage in de facto zoning, and the zoning code needs to be changed. This is an emergency situation now, but the village has approved rewriting the zoning code this year, so I think that this is the time to recognize that the errors of its ways over the last nine PDDs. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Going once, going twice, for the third time, would anyone like to speak on this matter? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and move on to agenda item number 5, adoption of ordinance 2018.02, amending Article 3, District Regulations, and Article 7, Conditional Uses of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve as presented with one wording change.
Okay.
It'd be on the third page of what we have in front of us. It's section EB2. And I've thrown it past Trevor earlier today to see about rewording the last couple sentences, because it's implying that both the plan commission and the village board have to approve about sharing parking. So we wanted to reword it to say something along the lines of, and Trevor's got much better wording than me, of it shall go before the planning commission to review and recommend, and then to the board for formal approval. So that's the wording. Trevor can speak to it much better than me.
How does that wording sound to you, Trevor?
What I came up with was, so coming down to that second line, second to the bottom line, defined as such, except if, after the Planning Commission reviews and provides a recommendation, comma, the Village Board deems the uses are compatible with sharing parking, period. So that was what I could come up with, but I'm certainly open to other phrases, too.
Okay.
I think the way Trevor presented it would work. So that would be my motion, is to accept as presented with that one wording change.
Okay.
One other thing, I think.
I did run this past our attorney. He did have two other minor changes that I can run by 143.
Okay. Do I have a sec? I have a motion to approve it with a couple of modifications. Second by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion?
Do we need to know what the other two changes
yep.
are? Are they not substantive?
This is a perfect time for that.
Sure. The next one was on the second to last page there. It's actually under the other article for conditional uses. Item number 475-58 standards.
Yep.
It was recommended by our attorney to remove the word and at item D, at the end of item D, and then at the end of item E, put a semicolon and insert the word and there. There's one minor change there. I believe the other comment by Attorney Gass was on the next ordinance for adoption.
Okay. Okay, are you okay with that change, Trustee Harris?
Yes.
Trustee Genrich?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion, a second, any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 6, public hearing to consider amendment to Chapter 248 of the Village Ordinances, Historic Preservation. Do I have anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak on this matter? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Pike Bend Committee. This is, again, an emergency situation that has been in the works for 5 years. Last year, I objected to the current language that was changed in the Historic Preservation Code. I thought it was a bad idea to require that village residents in historic districts get village permission to do minor repairs to their property on the exterior of the property, including tuck pointing, painting, repairing gutters. I objected to that and at the committee level and also at the board level, and I was dismissed. Now that we have a historic district, and I brought it up again, that it is unlawful for the people on Miramar Street to now tuck point their chimneys and make minor exterior repairs without village approval and going before a board, the ordinance is going to be changed. So this ordinance should be changed, but I would suggest that you table the ordinance until you can fix the entire ordinance in its entirety, specifically the three districts that you have, the Miramar District, the district along Derby Lane, and the district on Sunset Circle. There needs to be objective criteria in the ordinance as to what actually makes a historic property and what definitely does not make a historic property. And according to federal rules, a property that has not reached 50 years of age is, unless under extreme circumstances, is not a historic property. And the Sunset Circle Historic District was rammed through, and it has built homes that were built in the 70s and 80s. They were all designated as historic for reasons that don't make any sense at all. And if you're going to be changing the historic zoning code, you should be able to answer residents' questions on what is a historic home and what is definitely not a historic home. And according to the state and federal rules and the new survey that was just done at De Pere, your mid-century homes that we have a lot of here in Alloway qualify as historic, but they were dismissed when the survey was done. And properties that were built in the 70s and 80s are not historic, and those were designated on Sunset Circle as historic. So I would suggest that you table the historic changes today, suspend enforcement of the rules preventing people on Miramar from making repairs to the exterior of their home, and look at Sunset Circle and hold the State Historic Preservation Office accountable for all the changes and all the money that the attorneys have spent on this issue. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter tonight? Going for the third time. Anyone else like to speak on this matter tonight? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and move on to agenda item number 7, adoption of ordinance 2018.01, amending chapter 248 of the village ordinances, historic preservation. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
I think a lot of work has gone into this from the historic preservation, as well as some planning input and a lot of staff input. I think it's pretty well thought out. I don't think we should consider it an emergency measure at this point. I think it's cleaning up some of the language and reflecting some of the recommendations that have been made. It's certainly not, we're certainly not creating any changes to impinge on a property owner's ability to do some remodeling that's necessary. So I think this is a good faith effort, and I would support it.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Did you have another change?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Did Attorney Gast have a recommended change?
Yes, and I would just like to echo Trustee Ganarich's comments. Both this ordinance and the last ordinance, it's not news to the board, but just for the public record, both these ordinances have been discussed for years, and they're in no way emergency or by nature or anything like that. This specific ordinance, the changes being made were actually discussed a year ago in January at the Historic Preservation Committee, and it was discussed at that time that the changes were unnecessary because of our policy. However, it's brought back up, and looking back at the ordinance, it was realized that the ordinance does not state clear enough what our current policy is. So these changes tonight are just to emphasize what our policy is and clear up any possible confusion there may be. That's why you see a lot of change in the purpose and intent, because the Historic Preservation Committee wanted to just make sure that everything was clear as what the intent of this ordinance is. This ordinance, as it is now and as it will be amended tonight, only deals with properties that are locally designated, which is only one property in the village, which is Inheritage Hill. We are required to have an ordinance like this in order to be eligible for grants. Now, I've explained this several times in several different ways to certain residents, and unfortunately, the comprehension is not there to understand that this is required by us in order to be eligible for these grants. And I don't know how else to explain it. But that's reality. I think the board in the past has also brought up the historic survey and the three districts, and that we stand behind the survey that was completed back in 2012. And that if there's any evidence to be brought forward, that was already discussed, and time was allotted for that. So I just want to emphasize those points for public record. The one change that Attorney Gast had was in the purpose and intent section here. The third full highlighted line, or the sentence that starts with sites placed. He had sites placed on the state, and then he recommended and/or be inserted, national, and then inserted registers of historic places, and then continue on with, or not automatically considered locally. So just one quick clarification there.
Okay, thank you. And if you if you drop down a couple of lines there, it says subject to the same controls and restrictions outlines. Should that be outlined? It could make it make sense to me. So.
Yep. Sure.
And that's the only
good catch.
Trustee Harris.
One more. If we were looking at changing the wording of state and national to state and slash or national in that third full line, should we also change it in the second full line then? if we're changing it for the reading of it's because it wouldn't necessarily qualify as state and national, it could be both, could be one or the other.
That's true.
So if we're being consistent on that third full line, we should probably look at it the same manner in a second.
Any other discussion? Are those changes okay with you, Trustee Ginnert?
Yes.
And are they okay with you, Trustee Dart? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying it.
Wasn't it?
It was, but I'm fine with the changes, okay. Too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I just want to make sure I...
No, it's all good.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you very much. My apologies, Trustee Green. Action item number 8, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on anything that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim Park, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Eloise Lake Pet Committee, in charge of pedestrian affairs. It was refreshing to see an open session with regards to the disposal of surplus village property today. There was no reason why this discussion should have been in closed session, and there was no reason why the past 3, 4, 5 closed meeting sessions on the Zimbaldi Brewery should have been in closed session. So I would encourage the board to go ahead and, unless under extreme circumstances, hold as many open sessions as possible and only close a session when you're actually getting down to brass tacks that could compromise the negotiating strategy. I was very concerned that the village met with the developer of a proposed condominium complex on Riverside Drive, received a presentation from them in closed session, and that could not have been in closed session for competitive reasons because you were in session with that developer. So you cannot have a competitive situation when your competitor is sitting in the room and the public is excluded. So I was asked to leave that meeting, and the developer was allowed to stay in the meeting, and there are no records of what happened at that meeting. It's happened a couple times, and I would like the village board to make every effort to engage in open sessions and only go into closed sessions when you're actually getting down to hard negotiations, and there should be some sort of record of what happens in those meetings after the transaction is closed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on anything that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we'll close the public appearance section of our meeting and move on to agenda item number 9, action regarding ordinance 2018-04, amending section 151-10, beekeeping. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a dual second. We'll give it to Trustee Ginnert. Any discussion?
No, I was just going to say, I think it's a good progression of how we handle hens, too, starting small and then they got bigger. So starting to allow it on private property, I think, is reasonable, and under the circumstances, it just seems like we're following our other ordinances.
Thank you. There are a few typos that have been pointed out. Probably for clarification, what we wanted to do is not lose the ability to allow for beekeeping on our public property that's been identified. So trying to mesh the two ordinances together to get them obviously different. A couple items that have been brought to the attention is the expiration date of making it of December 31st. I think that probably makes more sense. Then on page 2, C1, it's supposed to be one paragraph, and it kind of got, I think,
split in two.
Yeah, as you see up here on the board, it's after officer, it should say, should continue with to safeguard public health, etc. Page 3, number 9, should be identified by village staff. That should be inserted into that paragraph. Page 5, again, is clearing up the date of December 31st. And then on page, must be 6 by now, the question is whether or not we need to define what winter means. And it's, I think it's freezing. And what's the, it's could come early, and then the bees are not active like they would have been, so water being available for them would be something I guess we wouldn't be checking on. But everything, the beekeeper is going to be very cautious too. So, but thank you. And then I think the last one is the last page, number 11, again, needs to add more by village staff. And the very last one would be item I, 1I.
I don't think that needs to be changed.
To ordinance. Oh, you don't think you're okay with it?
I think it should stay as section.
It can be section or code. Ordinance is what we pass, our code.
Codes.
So it, either it's the section of the code or the code. Either.
I don't think we need to change that one at all.
But otherwise, thank you. And we do have a resident that was bringing this forward here today.
She looks happy.
She's buzzing.
She's buzzing.
So she should. It was a honey of a deal. It was too easy.
Trustee Green.
I was just going to add to, we do have some lots that are so small and built out that to keep, to be able to have bees on private or on public property near our retention pond still, even though we haven't had, you know, that much interest, it would be a good idea. I think it'd be a great public teaching tool too, if we could ever garner some interest from even some of the bee clubs.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10, action regarding ordinance 2018.03, amending section 110-1 of code 110, salaries and compensation relating to the annual salary for the village president. And for those of you who weren't here last time, we discussed increasing the salary of the village president from $8,364 a month or a year.
A month.
Can I apply?
Good job.
It's a big no, right?
Oh, yeah. Good try, though.
To $10,000 a year. Do I have a motion on this item? Yeah. Trustee Harris.
Move to approve. And it would be effective with the April 2019
correct
term of president. Yep. It would not be effective this year.
This current term. Yep. Okay, we have a motion by Trustee Harris. Do we have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion?
Just one, I received an email from a resident and former administrator here, Clarence Matuzak, that's, and I'll quote, says, "This action is way, way overdue and should have been changed years ago, perhaps even while I was still there, now more than 25 years ago. The workload and time involved for the position can be substantially more than that of a trustee." Then he goes on to say a couple other things, but that's the gist of it.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 13. Under new business, action regarding Public Works Committee meetings, minutes dated January 10th. First of all, the construction contract award for Webster Safe Routes to School project. Mr., you've been sitting patiently.
There is a information in your packet regarding the Webster Safe Routes to School project. We did receive bids a week ago. The low bidder was Vinton Construction at $396,504. That is a little bit higher than the funds in our municipal agreement with the Department of Transportation. What is in the project estimate in that agreement is $386,615. I went through a lot of numbers here that's a little bit complicated to explain. We have adequate funds for the project because the funded amount that we have in our agreement is $350,000, and that would be, if you look at this page with my hieroglyphics showing how the funds would be handled. We're within the $350,000 that's available to us for funding. What we would do during the course of the, after the contractor's award signed and so forth and completed with the DOT, is request a fund transfer to transfer some of the engineering money to some of the construction. We're allowed to do that as long as we're within the total dollar amount of the funding. On the right-hand column, the bottom line is that our cost for construction, our local share, is about $88,000 in the agreement, and with the change in the project bid and adjusting the funds as I'm proposing and adding, I'm adding some contingency in case it's a unit price contract. We could be below $396,000, we could be a little bit above it. So I'm figuring on some contingency in case some of the quantities are a little higher. But the local share cost with all the changes will still be about $88,000. So our net cost is really essentially about the same at this point in time, based on our estimate of how these funds would be expended and the cost of the project and the bid price that we have. What we need to do this evening is to award the contract as it's written on the bottom of the page that explains all the hieroglyphics that I was trying to work through. We approved the award of contract to Vinton Construction in the amount of $396,503.90, subject to approval of the contract by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. We don't sign the contract this night, this evening. We simply are approving it, and we submit the paperwork to the DOT. It will probably come back in about 2 or 3 weeks. When that comes back, then the village president would execute the contract. And then the contractor would be able to start work when the weather improves in the spring. It's kind of a complicated process, but the long and the short of it is we should be in good shape on this. The bid price came in about 4% higher than what was in the engineer's estimate, but that's still very close and within the accuracy of a typical project.
Is that it?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I would move that the board approves the award of contract to Vinton Construction in the amount of $396,503.90, subject to the approval of the contract by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And then simply add some verbiage, not to the motion, but that we've been working on this for 5 years. We say across the school, and it's a 80% federal match. So village pays 20%, feds 80%. Good project.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item 13B, Doty School Safe Route to School Project application to Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Mr.
Well, as I said at the Public Works Committee meeting, we're gluttons for punishment, so here we are again back at the table. Every 2 years, the Department of Transportation opens up a funding program. It's called Transportation Alternatives Program. And Safe Routes to School is part of that program. It's one of the four options that you can apply for funding for specific small projects in communities. So basically, that came out in late October, early November, with a deadline of submittal of late January, 2 weeks from now, a week and a half from now. We looked at this. Trevor, Chris, myself, Brad, we looked at it. We talked about various options that we might be able to consider. Was there something that we could submit on that made sense and that we thought had a high priority of being successful? This is taken from our Safe Route to School plan for the village as a whole, which is one of the prerequisites that you have to have a plan like that to score high enough points to obtain a grant for a project. In looking at all the options, it looked like the Doty School Safe Route to School project made the most sense. We felt that that had the highest priority or highest possibility of being awarded because it's a school. We did a little research to find out what other people were doing, and we think that this has a higher chance of success compared to some of the other projects that we think are going to be submitted. It also is a project that is an area where we're not going to be reconstructing streets. So we would not go into this area to try to do a project of this size because it is a fairly substantial project, and we're dedicating monies to streets and utilities and then adding some sidewalks in where we can afford to do that and it fit in the plan. So this is an opportunity to move this project forward and provide a considerable amount of sidewalk. It would connect Doty School down to East River Drive, and it would connect to East River Drive from Huffman all the way down to the pier. So it's a fairly large project. That route is also in our pedestrian plan. So not only is it Safe Route to School, it's in the pedestrian plan that we approved a few months ago. So it's a nice opportunity. What are the chances of success? Hard to say. It's dependent on many things, but I think it has a reasonable chance of being selected. And if not this go-round, the next go-round, 2 years from now. What this project looks like financially is on page A9 of the draft application that you have. It's about $61,500 for the engineering and design review portion of the project, and it's $512,450 for the construction phase of the project. The funded portion of construction would be $399,960. The local share of construction would be the $99,990. So it is a fairly large project. If you look at it in the overall sense, how many dollars are we going to spend on the total project, because we do spend some money up front that's not fundable, because it expedites working the process through to getting ready to construct. And also there are things that are not grant eligible. Land acquisition, easements and things of that sort are not eligible costs. Those are local share costs. We would probably spend on this project probably between $125,000 and $150,000 in total and receive $400,000 in the grants. So to give you just kind of a rule of thumb, the point being, if we spend $150,000 when we're getting $400,000 in construction funding, yes, we're investing money, but we're coming out way ahead financially on the big picture. And that's the same thing with the Webster School. Even though we're investing money in it, we are getting a considerable amount of money back to do that project. It's a kind of a similar percentage. So we wanted to bring this to the board. We took it to Public Works Committee, and they made a recommendation to the board to proceed with the submittal of this. We wanted to bring it to the board so you have a chance to look at it, see what it is, and say yay or nay on whether you want to go forward with this. We also have the option that if we submit it and we decide in the next 2 or 3 months that we don't want to do it, we could withdraw the application. That's assuming that we would be selected. It really will take from now until October 2018 for this to get to the point of actually being awarded and a contract being signed with the community. So that's the timeline.
Well, will it be October before we know if we...
No, we would in the next, probably within about 60 days, we will have a pretty good idea of where we rank. There will be, what happens is, this has to go in by January 26th, and our goal is to get it in early next week. But there's about a 60-day review period, and then it goes to the Brown County Transportation Subcommittee, which is transportation officials and the public works directors. So the Brown County Planning will review these, rank them, and make a recommendation to the subcommittee. The subcommittee will evaluate, discuss it among the group. There will be a recommendation from the transportation subcommittee to the planning board. And then the planning board will make a decision and finalize that. Then it'll go to the DOT. The DOT then will make a decision and come back with their approvals. And then it starts the process of the one or two or three projects that are selected will go through the legal process of signing agreements.
So 3 to 4 months before we know, really.
2 months, we'll have a pretty good indication. 4 months, we'll have a decision. 6 or 7 months, it would be a contract.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Can I speak?
Craig, at what point would there be public hearings to explain what's happening to the residents along River or the other streets?
That is something we would decide.
Okay, but it would happen after the 4 month.
Yes. Yeah, we would have
after the stage of 4 months and sometime during 2018 we would start it.
Yes,
okay,
definitely. I would say in the second half of 2018 we would want to get public information out, make people aware of it,
mm-hmm.
And then it really should be two sets of news releases. One is there's a project, and then a little farther down the road, here's what the project looks like. So we would definitely have a design review meeting with residents, the same type of meeting we have with reconstruction projects where they get a chance to look at it and see what it's all about.
Thank you. Just want to make sure that we're keeping people involved as early in the process as we can. I know it doesn't make a difference at the point of just applying because we don't know where we're at.
Exactly.
But at least we'll get some, you know, get feedback from the state agency and then start to involve the public on what could possibly happen.
Thank you for bringing that up. Do I have a motion on this item?
Can you open the floor?
Relax. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve for submittal.
Okay. Is that clear enough?
Sure.
Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? We have a request from the floor. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Green. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. This is a great program. I would, at the Public Works Committee, I requested that the village also add an option for striping bike lanes on East River.
Jim,
and on.
That's not part of this discussion.
We
have to talk about this.
So I did introduce it. It didn't make it into the Public Works minutes. There's e-bikes. There's a lot going
on
coming up.
Talk about this. We're not talking about striping.
This is the Safe Routes to School program. The Safe Routes to School
program. Jim, before us, we have a motion for the Safe Route to School contract and to go for a bid. Do you have a comment on that?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you like to share that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like the bid to include an option for striping East River Drive and Libel Street because we have e-bikes on the horizon coming up, and they're in other markets, and they're coming to Alloway, and the kids need to get to school. The sidewalks are important. Bike lanes are important. You're not allowed to ride your bike on the sidewalks. So we need safe routes, and you're not allowed to ride bikes on the trails. So we need e-bikes on the trails. So we need, as long as this is a transportation alternative, we should have an option for the cost of striping East River Drive and Libel Street to get down to this area. Thanks.
Do I have a motion to pick up the rules?
So
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Atwood. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We have a motion to approve recommendation or for the application for the Safe Routes to School project on Doty or for Doty School, and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item 13C, Department of Public Works Signature Authority for Stormwater Annual Reporting. Mr. Burns.
It would be about 8 or 9 years ago when we started the, when the Department of Natural Resources required an annual stormwater report to be submitted as an MS4 community. There was a similar signature authority that was passed by the board at that time, which authorized the public works director to submit that annual report under his signature as the responsible party for preparing that annual report. This comes back forward, it comes back at this time now because that original process was a paper submittal. Now we are beginning, as of January 1, all electronic submittal. And so the Department of Natural Resources is asking for a reauthorization of the signature authority for each MS4 community, which then would be electronically submitted, the report electronically submitted, and all the supporting data electronically submitted. So it's a procedural thing to reauthorize the process that we've been following. So I would ask the board to pass a motion authorizing the public works director, and I would say probably include my name in that as the authorized submittal signature for the annual reporting. It doesn't change anything else. Grants, contracts, all of those types of things are signed by the village president. This is basically the operations reporting on an annual basis.
Trustee Green.
Move to approve a process that's not broke, is working, and will continue. Sorry, this is
just bananas. We might want to be a little more formal.
I like it the way it was.
How about if we rework that? How about if we say that we that you move to approve that the Director of Public Works, Craig Byrne, be approved as the authorized municipal contact for submittal of the MS4 Stormwater Annual Report?
That plus it's a process in place that's working and not broke.
Duly noted. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
One friendly suggestion on modifying the motion.
Sure.
If we're going to the detail, and I don't know if this would have to be reapproved in 2019, should we add it to having Craig's name or his successor upon retirement?
Good point. So modified.
If we're putting in Craig's specific name.
So modified. So accepted.
Accepted.
Any other discussion? We have a motion, a long motion to approve, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 14, future agenda items. Is there anything that the board would like to see on a future agenda item? Hearing none. We will move down to item number 15. Do I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(c), considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, specifically code enforcement? Trustee Green.
So moved.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Thank you. We are in closed session.